Hi, it's KCCK's Culture Crawl. I'm Dennis Green, and my guests today are Creighton Gaynor of Natural Talent Music, musician and music promoter and enabler in the Iowa City area. Welcome, Creighton. Nice to see you.
Thanks, Dennis. Glad that.
And our special guest, live via Zoom, is singer, songwriter, musician, educator, Martha Redbone. Martha, welcome. Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. Lovely to meet you both.
Martha is going to be in concert at the Englert Theater on the 11th of April, and Creighton is co-promoting this show. So before we dig into Martha and her music, Creighton, just remind us a little bit about what your goals and your organization are with Natural Talent Music.
Gotcha. So Natural Talent Music is just a local company here in Iowa City, based out of Iowa City, serving the Eastern Iowa area. Doing a lot of different things as far as just creating and promoting shows, presenting different arts and that sort of thing around this area, especially in Eastern Iowa. Been working the past few years on a series called One World, and One World is really about kind of unity through music. It's just a kind of a way to talk about the different cultural influences that make us, you know, in the whole meaning of us, who we are. And then also a way to hopefully get people in the same room that might not have been in the same room before. Just trying to program different events that challenge the normal way of putting together a program, I guess, in some ways. So really focusing on multicultural experiences, really intercultural experiences as well.
And Martha, so you you bring all your diverse roots and experience to your music. You know, we kick around the term musical gumbo a lot, but yours, you know, you have roots in Kentucky, you have R&B and soul background, you know, you were brought up in Brooklyn, you combine African-American influences with Native American influences. Tell me about the kind of the origin story of you and music.
Goodness. What I've always loved and have been raised to embrace the rich culture, the foundation of music in this country. And, you know, and being from someone from a mixed background, that's something that, you know, all too often tends to get erased. You know, where, you know, when you have this multi-diverse background, you're not allowed to say, you know, America only makes you choose one. You're only allowed to choose one because of the racism and Jim Crow and the one drop rule and all of these things. And so when you see that there's a trajectory for, I guess, a systemic oppression and systemic racism, you know, my choice is to heal through music, because music is something that is intrinsic in every single one of us. It's not something that you necessarily have to learn, because you can look at a little baby responding to vibrations and birds, you know, music, the earliest music is birds and animals and nature. And so when you look at the music of the foundation of this country with, you know, the indigenous people, the first original caretakers of this land, and our enslaved African children who were stolen, our stolen ancestors, when you look at that and who were brought here and planted, you know, for labor, you know, people bring their music wherever they come from. And then you go to, you know, you go to Europeans, you look at, you know, the Scots, Irish people, you know, which I also descend from as well, you know, and most people, my story is not unusual, you know. And so when you look at that, that's why they call it folk music. It's because the folks have brought their own music from wherever they come from, you know? And so it's something that just came very organic to me. This was not something that was necessarily planned. This is just, you know, when you're a musician, and especially when you become a parent, you know, one of the things you want to do, you're very concerned about the type of everything that your child that you bring into the world, that you bring into your child's life, that you bring into your life for your own well-being. And so part of that was to celebrate the rich culture of this country. That's something that needs to be celebrated. It's on the radio. We hear music on the radio all the time. We just don't know the origins of the music. you know, and that's the part where I come in, and I love embracing that in the songs that I do. I love celebrating all those sounds, R and rhythm and blues and gospel and mountain music, folk and country, and it's just everything, you know, hymns, you know. So that's why when it comes to the music that I make, I call it a gumbo, and I do truly believe that that's what that is, you know, because it's in everything.
You've had the opportunity to work with some really diverse mentors. John McEwen from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band produced your album. I know one of your early mentors was, this is a Star Trek struck moment for me, was Juni Morrison, who, you know, who if our listeners are going, Juni Morrison, he was with the Ohio Players and was music director for Parliament.
Funkadelic. Yes.
Yeah, Funkadelic. Yep. Yeah. So, so talk to me about getting to work with those people who, again, have a diverse background too.
Yeah. Both of these beautiful souls were just tremendous blessings on our lives. When I was young, and I say our, meaning my partner, and longtime collaborator, Aaron Whitby, who's not only my music partner, but he's also my husband. And so he's also English, he's British. And so we met in London, England, where I lived. And lo and behold, Juni Morrison was also living in London and happened to live only a couple of blocks from our house. And so, you know, when you're in a different country, you know, the expat community, wherever you are, somehow we all seem to find each other. And so someone in the music business said, oh, you should meet this American, you know, Juni Morrison. We're like, what, you know, Funky Worm, what, from the Ohio Place? He said, yeah, he lives like right around the corner from you. So we were like, literally, like, I think two or three blocks away. And so we met, and he became our mentor. And one of the very first conversations that we had with music was his song that he actually wrote. Who says a funk band can't play rock? Who says, you know, a funk band can't play country? You know, there's no rules. You know, this is music. And you have a strong melody and you have a great story. It can be produced in any way, any style. And we see evidence of that all the time. Look at Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You. We would have never imagined Whitney Houston taking over the world with her version of that song. I would have never imagined that in a million years, but it just shows the strength of Dolly Parton's songwriting. It can be done in any style.
We are, you know, or at least let me put it this way, I am only beginning to understand in my own musical past, you know, how the types of music I liked were segregated, that I didn't, you know, rock was different than funk, was different than soul, was different than country. And that's a journey that I actually have been on as a, you know, as a music fan and a music listener. You've also had some time on Broadway. You got some Tony nominations for the music that you wrote for When the Rainbow Is Enough. Yes, Color Girls Who Have Considered Suicide, yeah. When the Rainbow Is Enough. I always have to look and read the title.
Well, we did not get nominated for the Tony, but the play got 7 Tony nominations, which is amazing. So that was just an incredible time, because it was also during the pandemic, so, which was a difficult time for the entire world. And through this, you know, of course, musicians were hit really hard, because our livelihood depends on the gathering of people, the safe gathering of people. And so when you remove that away, you know, it was a real struggle. So to have the opportunity as a composer, being a composer team on that show, was a true affirmation, you know, a real gift. And then the nominations that the piece got was just like, just a really wonderful affirmation. But I was going to go back to what you said earlier about, you know, learning that, you know, compartmentalizing the music styles, you know, that's not your fault. That's not our fault. We've all been programmed to believe those things. So, you know, it's how we have been taught, you know, and so that's not any fault of our own. And for me, I feel exactly, I mean, in my case, you know, being a kid in Harlan County, you know, we had one radio station and they played everything. So when you're in the Midwest states, you kind of get a well-rounded thing, you know, vocabulary of music. You know, they would play, you know, they'll play Prince right next to Conway Twitty, you know. And so that's what we're, you know, in the Midwest, you know, coming up, that's kind of how it was, because a lot of the guys in our band are also from Chicago and Kentucky, with roots in Kentucky as well. And they said the same thing, like, we have this vocabulary because that's what we were given on the radio at those times. When you get to a big city like New York City that can afford to have like only rock radio or only this kind of, you know, R&B or Soul Station or this kind of stuff, when you can do that, yeah, I see that. That it can be easy to kind of be lost, you know, but this is something that is had been taught to us, and we have to unlearn it, you know, and learn to appreciate all the similarities. So, mm-hmm.
Well, with that in mind, then tell me a little bit about your show that you're going to be bringing to the Engler on the 11th of April, and, you know, incorporating, you know, all of these things that we've been talking about.
Yeah, the project that we have, that was the Garden of Love, Songs of William Blake, produced by John McEwen. That'll be a bunch of songs that we'll perform, and we also are going to perform a lot of the songs that really are near and dear to me. I also strongly believe that a lot of music is disappearing into the ether, just because there's such an overload of information these days. There's only so much that, you know, people can grasp. And so there's a lot of really important songs that I like to honor and perform, and some that are, you know, that as a songwriter, I say most songwriters sit around listening to other people's songs saying, dang, I wish I wrote that, you know? And so we're going to be doing a couple of those songs, you know, and, you know, that talk about the civil rights era, which, you know, a lot of people aren't even learning about this stuff, and kids aren't learning so much about this in schools anymore. So there's just some songs that are like really important, and also were profound in my life. And so those are things that I'm going to be, you know, sharing. So what we tend to do is, you know, we like to turn our audiences into like our church, you know, so we kind of, you know, send you all the way to the Holy Ghost, and then back home again, all warm and fuzzy, like a cup of hot cocoa, you know. So we also do like, you know, like call and response, and, you know, and invite people to sing with us and things like that. So,
oh, it sounds so, so you'd call it an interactive, you know, the, you know, don't come church. To spend, I mean, sit in your chair. You're going to be a part of what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, the reason I do that is because, you know, I don't, you know, I made a conscious decision to remain an independent artist, because that way I could, you know, champion causes I believe in and stick with them. And you know, and as I said, for me, like, education is really important, as with music as education and, you know, cultural preservation. It's important to tell, you know, the Black and Indigenous story. It's a huge part. The shared history of where I come from is a huge part of the story of America. It doesn't matter what government labels, you know, do, because we all know that people have gotten erased. You know, it's just how it is, and reclassified. It's happened in my own family, you know, where you can see the census records where one you're listed as white, one you're listed as Black, one you're listed as mulatto, one you're listed as COL colored, MU, you know what I mean? It's just, it was all a systemic erasure, you know? And so I really believe that doing it through music and storytelling really opens up conversations. I'm not doing this for myself, you know, as if I have this huge ego that, you know, I want you to know all about me. It's not that. It's so that when people go home, they can have conversations about their own families. You know, those stories happen in the car on the way home. Like, you know, did Auntie so-and-so say this? Or, you know, and then it helps people, you know, pay attention when there's holiday times, you know, or usually the bulk of families gather when someone passes away. And then you hear a lot of family stories when, you know, at those gatherings, either their family reunions, you know, family ceremonies, homegoing ceremonies, where you hear these stories from the elders. And once our elders leave us, those stories go if you don't keep them going. And that, and then we all become participants in our own erasure. And that's what I don't want to happen.
Martha Redbone and her band will be in concert at the Englert Theater on the 11th of April, Thursday. Tickets, Creighton Gaynor, I'm assuming regular englert.org website.
You got it. Englert.org. Yep, that's right.
And if people want to find out more about Natural Talent Music and the different projects that you've got yourself involved into, where can they find you online?
They can find me online right now and on Facebook and Instagram, Natural Talent Music. Pretty easy to find with those words.
And Martha, same question. If we want to find out a little bit more about your music in preparation for coming to see you on the 11th, what's your online presence?
You can go to MarthaRedbone.com. You have, you know, Bandcamp has music on there and the dreaded, you know, music outlets. I can be found on Apple Music and, you know, anywhere you can get them. And I also have some CDs there, even though it's not many people have CD players anymore, but yeah, you know,
we're big fans of physical media here.
I know. Please, yeah. Lord, bring it back. Please just bring it back. You know, that's all I say. And I just wanted to thank you, Creighton, for believing me, for believing my story, and for inviting our band to come and share our music with the area. I'm really looking forward to it. It's not an easy journey to wear what I wear, if you know what I mean. But I think it's an important journey, and I think it's important. I think the work that I do through music opens up conversations that people never really thought about. And you know how it is always. I believe that the work, the audience is congregational. The music that we're doing is congregational music, and the work that I do is revolutionary work. You know, so, and you know, when you're trying to open hearts and minds, it's not always easy because, you know, like, as you said before, just learning that different styles of these musics were completely separate things and didn't have a kind of origin, that has to be unlearned as well. And so all of these things, this is like a time, and I feel like coming through, you know, a 3-year pandemic where there are 2 million people dead in the world and half of them were right here in the United States. I feel that it's a time for an awakening. So amidst all the madness and the chaos, I do think that the only way that we can start to heal is to, you know, address these things, you know, and to use our voices. However we choose to do it, which is, you know, and I do it through music and so.
I want to thank both of you for being with me today. Looking forward to your concert coming up at the Englert on Thursday, April 11th, Martha. And again, tickets at englert.org. Thank you both for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. And thank you, Martha. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Creighton. Thank you. Thank you.
You can hear the Culture Crawl live on the radio many weekdays at 10:30. Watch the video on YouTube or Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast at kcck.org/culture. Our producer is Lydia Kilgore. I'm Dennis Green. I'll talk to you later.